First Corinthians chapter 13, and we'll not do much in a preliminary of the setting of this passage of Scripture, as we have a description of the greatness of the character of love, and certainly its character is much greater than a gift, a spiritual gift that was given to you. You didn't have to do anything to get it. You were, if it's a natural ability, you were born with it. It's a supernatural gift. You were given to it. In this case, they were given it their salvation to be used in a local church for the advancement of the gospel. And so love is of a completely different character and quality than spiritual gifts that had become very out of whack in the church there at Corinth. Now, we want to look at a couple of passages of Scripture tonight as we think of this great subject of love, the character of love. We have to preface it with the fact that today there are many politically correct words. On one hand, there's going to be none of us that love as much as we ought. On the other hand, love has become a winning tactic and a politically correct word to condone almost anything. We find it in the world in which we live. Love is the politically correct word of the gay crowd, of gay marriage. It is the politically correct word of new evangelicalism, which is their excuse for disobedience. I thought it would be good to, first of all, make sure that we know the real root of the idea of love. And it's not too hard to figure out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a big statement. We find that the very root of the idea of love is selflessness. Selflessness, as exhibited, obviously, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Selflessness. Now, we find a comparative to that passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 3. And 1 John chapter 3, we have 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, which goes along with John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Selflessness. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Selflessness. Love is selflessness. We see this explained in 1 John 3:11 following. For this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. See the political correctness here? There was a hidden motive. There's a hidden agenda. You can almost hear Cain saying to God, how come you're so unloving? Why won't you accept my sacrifice? And who is Abel? Is he better than me? You understand what I'm saying? It fits right into a false love of our society that is really selfishness. Notice it said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath life abiding, eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, I think there's a precursor there. Lay down our lives for the brethren. Number one, how about laying down our lives for those that need to be saved? How about laying down our lives for those who will be saved, getting out the gospel? Let's kind of perceive the world in which we live. Let's perceive the Christianity of our day. And let's get past the buzzwords. It tells us the true root of love is selflessness, self-denial, the giving of self for the greatest cause. And we have to ask ourselves, with all the talk about love today, where are the thousands volunteering to go with the gospel to the ends of the world? Where are the thousands willing to give up the pleasures of home and of fortune to go to some place where they will be unwelcome, misrepresented, and maligned? Where are they? That is self-denial. Then let's go to the other passage of Scripture that I think is good to deflate the buzzword. Romans chapter 12. So let's go there. Romans 12, verse 9, very significant word, verse, let love be without dissimulation. Now, this is a good verse for today in political correct. You know, isn't it amazing how the political correctness is both political and spiritual? Ever notice that? But notice what it says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, dissimulation means hypocrisy. Okay? Love, love, love. You know, the Beatles, that was their theme, right? Love, love, love. The angels, it was holy, holy, holy. But notice it says, let your love be without dissimulation. In other words, it says, what is true love? It says true love is that which abhors that which is evil and cleaves to that which is good. The Bible says true love has an equal abhorring, detesting that which is evil, that is paralleled with a clinging to and cleaving to that which is good. Isn't that a great truth? Now, what we're doing is we are defining what is real love. Not what Hollywood says is love. That's what the politically correct people say is love. We're talking about what does the Bible say is love. It says, hate that which is evil. Now, my experience has been many people who cry love, it's because they don't want to call sin, sin. And you know, a good way, just like Cain, to cover up his evil was to accuse God and Abel of wrong. Isn't that what happened? Cain accused God and Abel of wrong, because he would not admit that in his own life there were things that were wrong and he wouldn't deal with them. People who won't deal with their own sin love to throw the word love around. You know, it's kind of like a winning tactic. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're having a conversation and you're trying to solve a problem. Well, maybe say, now, there's a difference between trying to solve a problem and win an argument. You know what I mean? If you want to win an argument, you will say, that was really dumb. Well, you just won. Right? You won. Because you just said that you were smart and the other person was dumb, and therefore they were wrong. So you just won. And you know what? In the Christian realm, if you use the word love, you just won. You're not loving. Well, who can stand against that? You know what I'm saying? Nobody can stand against that. It's a winning tactic. But the Bible says, don't let this idea of love be without, don't let it be hypocritical. True love hates, abhors that which is evil. Now think about the political correct people. You know, I'd have to say that those of us going to university, we obviously love gay people. We know that God hates their sin, but God also loves their soul, and we talk to them. And one day we were out there, and this young lady was there, and she was a guest from England studying at the university. And I guess I could have, if I would have put three and three together, I would have come up with six and realized, yeah, probably she's a lesbian. But Heath had already offered her a tract, and she refused. And she sat down at this table outside, and so I sat down at the table and started a conversation. Got to talk to her about 20, 30 minutes about God and the gospel and different things. And, she was probably shocked. But we got to give her the gospel. But, you know, it's a easy buzzword to say, oh, they're unloving. Because someone stands against what they do as sin. That's the way to solve the problem. Bible says, though love abhors that which is evil and cleaves to that which is good. Cleaves to that which is good. Now, what about Cain and Abel? Abel, what did he do? This was God's way. The way to worship God is through a blood sacrifice. He obeyed God. He did what God said. He didn't rebel against God. Cain rebelled against God. Abel submitted to God. You know, we don't know how many lambs Abel had in his flock, but he killed one of them. It might have been quite costly. And probably as a true worshiper, he probably killed a pretty good one. You know, it was love always is selfless. What is good? You know, think about the political hypocrisy of the left. They will say, hug a tree, but kill a baby. Right? Hug a tree. Save a frog. Save a mouse. Kill a baby. See, that kind of love is love that is hypocritical. And that is the atmosphere in which we live today. That is the atmosphere of today. And the Bible kind of sets it straight. The message we heard from the beginning, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, the message from the beginning. Love your brother. You know, I always take note of people who throw on the love word, and they are super critical of people who want to do right. Super critical of people who want to do right. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever taken that into your thinking? There's something wrong. It's a political buzzword that wins arguments, but it's unbiblical. And so we would have to say love is truly known by its attitude towards evil, and it's also known by its attitude towards good. Love is known by its willingness to be selfless for the souls of men. And so there's something wrong if love is just about scratch my back so you can scratch my back. There's something wrong when you want that kind of love, but you aren't willing to go to the ends of the world with the gospel. There's something wrong. There's something wrong when love criticizes people who try to live a holy life. There's something wrong. You can almost hear Cain saying to God, "Why are you judging me?" Why are you judging me? Well, the fact is, God came to Cain, and he came to give him the opportunity to repent. But Cain was angry at God and angry at his approach. We cannot say God was unloving. God was loving. And God did it in the perfect way. You know, the sad thing is, we aren't going to do something in a perfect way. And so people are going to have an excuse to react because they say we didn't do it perfectly. But just remember, God did it perfectly and people reacted. Jesus did it perfectly and they rejected it. So a political buzzword, a winning tactic, but the reality is our human nature is selfish. That's who we are. Our human nature is selfish. And have victory over our selfish human nature, that's supernatural. That's supernatural. I just love talking to little kids and asking them, giving them a piece of candy and asking them, will you share with me? Will you share with me? And of course, I'm playing with them, but because that's really hard, isn't it? It's so hard for a little one to, you give them something like that and ask them to share. Because you know what? It's not human nature to share. Ask the little babies in the nursery if they're going to share their toys. You know? It just doesn't happen that way. So let's look at this passage on love. And sometimes we need to, what could be helpful is we could come, make sure that we come down to reality here, okay? Let's throw away the buzzwords, let's throw away the Hollywood false idea of love, let's throw away the political correct view. Words and definitions that are out there that people are using. Let's go back to the Bible. But let's go back also to reality. Let's go back to the reality, I think, of a parent raising a child. And we find that one of the greatest issues that a parent has with a child is that a child is very, very selfish. And parenting is all about being selfless. Right? Parenting is all about being selfless. And the struggle is that children are born very selfish. And now we can put it in context. Let's see this description. First Corinthians 13:4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth in not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, so we have both positive and negative. We have a positive, things that love does, and things that love doesn't. And we're going to, let's go back to the word charity, because charity means selfless love. Charity is known by both the positive and the negative. And charity is both strong and supernatural. Charity suffers long. Injustices of life. Injustices of life. What do you mean by the injustice of life? Well, the fact is this. How many children really appreciate what they're given? How many children really appreciate what they're given? The Bible says, the horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, 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 give. Parenting is all about giving all the time. Give of your money, give of your time, give of your talents, give of your life. Give. But in that, there's many injustices. There's much lack of faith, thankfulness, much lack of appreciation, many selfish acts. You know, most young people, most children, don't even think a second about their selfishness. They don't even think a moment about their selfishness. They just want and want and want and want, and they don't care if they appreciate it or disappreciate it. They just want. Love suffereth long. Do you think, young person, that you go and do something foolish, selfish, ungodly? Do you have any clue of the pain you cause your parents if they love God? Do you have any clue of the agony of soul that you are causing them? When you just kind of almost laugh in their face, spite them. And they continue to serve you. They continue to serve you. Love suffers long. There's real suffering in love. Some of you heard of Isabel Kuhn, a missionary to China. She was so excited about going to China. And she's written some good books. I think some of young people ought to read her book, By Searching, because it talks about the hypocrisy of the false love and the false peace of worldliness. But she got to China. And when she got to China, she found out they could care less that she was there. She had given up her life. She had given up her career. She had given everything to go to China in a very much more difficult era than now. Of course, now it's pretty difficult in China. They're really cracking down on the Christians. But she got to China. Nobody was interested. Nobody was interested. They didn't care that she was there. She'd given everything up to be there to reach those people. They could care less. The Bible says there's no man that seeketh after God. Love suffereth long. This is speaking of the strength of love. suffers a long time. And you know, we all have our moments of shortness of breath. And our parenting is very much related to how long we can suffer. How long we can suffer. But then there's something even more than that. It says, love suffereth long and is kind. Wow. You know, it's one thing to suffer long, but it's all so much more to return those injustices with kindness. It is just simply supernatural to return all that injustice, suffering, lack of appreciation, lack of obedience, to return it with kindness is totally beyond human ability. Totally beyond human ability. Totally beyond human ability. It is supernatural. It is strong. What it will endure. And what it does that is beyond human capability. We remember John Patton going to the New Hebrides. The islands were cannibalistic. Many missionaries had already been eaten. And there were those who, of course, in those tribes, cannibalistic tribes, there wasn't such a thing as do not steal. It was get whatever you can get. Their houses broken into, their goods were stolen, and they were threatened with their lives over and over. And they stayed. They kept preaching the gospel. They did not. They were not overcome by the injustices and the wickedness of the people. And the people said, we never saw anything like this before. We never saw anything like this before. Our world is built on retaliation and revenge. And you have something that is foreign to us. Supernatural. The Bible says, charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. We talked about that in adult Sunday school this morning. Joseph was murdered by his, not murdered, sold into slavery. Some of them wished they could have murdered him. Because of envy, the Bible says, Acts 7:9. Jesus was delivered to Pilate by the Sadducees because of envy. Envy is a real thing. You know, envy is a kind of like hate. I suppose it would be some kind of some sort of envy when you have a classroom and one student does that which is right. And the other students aren't doing right. And the one who's doing right is not popular. True. It's true. Remember, the human nature is selfish. If I've seen it once, I've seen it many, many, many times. The one who does right is disliked by those who do wrong. Jesus was delivered because of envy. What is the root of envy? Selfishness, right? People don't think about it. Our nature is selfish. We aren't going to appreciate that child who does right. And so they're going to make up something about that person to make them look bad. Oh, they think they're better than somebody else. Oh, they're just a do-gooder. You know, whatever. Envy. What is envy? Selfishness. You know what's the opposite of envy? The opposite of envy in that case would be, you know, I'm not what I ought to be. I need to confess my sin of rebellion, sin of laziness. I need to die to self, my rebellious will. I need to let God have control of my life. You see, the root is selflessness. But the root of envy is selfishness. Selfishness. The selfless person does not envy that person who is succeeding because they are doing God's will. They are not trying to do something to knock that person down so he looks bad. They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Amen? It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's love. Rejoices in the truth. So, again, it's positive and negative. It's the difference between natural and human selfishness versus surrender and obedience to the Spirit of God. Envy is a very real issue today. And envy was very much in the Bible. And envy, we didn't all of a sudden become better today. And in the cases of the Bible where there was envy, it was in a religious setting, wasn't it? Notice it says, charity vaunteth not itself. Actually, the idea is a braggart. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, there are some cases in which, a parent they don't have time to rehearse every day everything they've done for their child. Do they have time for that? I just want you to know. And here's the list of 5,000 things. Parent doesn't have time for that. They have too much work to do. They have too much serving to do. Vaunteth not itself. You know, it must have been really hard for the Apostle Paul to write to the Corinthians and give them the list of all the proofs of his apostleship. That must have been really hard. To write down the proofs of his apostleship and that why they should appreciate him. That must have been pretty hard. It just doesn't, you know, it's just something that he was forced to do. Parent has to be forced to do that sometimes. Sometimes it's necessary, but you can't do it all day long. For an unappreciative child, vaunteth not itself. You know, center of attention. Center of attention. Why would a person want to be the center of attention? Well, what's the opposite of being the center of attention? Well, the opposite is giving attention to others. Amen? The center of attention. Well, it is true. You know, some children want to be the center of attention. Everything focuses on them. And they are very, very selfish people. Very, very selfish people. Some things that people will do to get the attention. I'm sure that a teacher, you talk to Mrs. Bird, she's the expert. She'll tell you, yep, this child is always trying to be the center of attention. They're very needy. What do you mean, very needy? They don't know how to give. They've never grown up. They've never learned how to give. Their life is about getting, getting, getting. You know, I compare this to the world of animal husbandry. You know, I loved raising pigs. But you know, pigs have to grow up real fast. Isn't it amazing? God gave, and now some of you, I don't want to offend you if you don't like pork, but okay. But, you know, that little piggy is going to spend its whole life getting fat so somebody can eat it. You know that? That's how God made them. God made them to be selfless. Well, sort of. But you know, then I think of a mama pig. Here's this guilt, and she's chosen to be the mama, and she gets bred. And now her life becomes all about others. She has these little piglets, you know, everything is about them. She makes her bed where she's going to have her piglets, and she designs it so that when they're born, they know which way to go to get fed. And everything is about those little piglets, you know? So they know where to go. They don't go that way. They go this way. They don't go that way where they get laid on. They go this way. And now, this mama, she's going to feed those little piglets. And you know, that's what she does. You know, right from the beginning, you know, grunt, 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 grunt. You know, come have a meal. These little piglets, she's still having her other piglets, and she's saying, grunt, 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 come and have a meal. And then, of course, they want a meal every 15 minutes, 24 hours a day. That's what they want, a meal. And it's all about selflessness. You know what? That's what growing up is. You know what growing up is? Growing up is you learn to live for others. You know, it used to be that with marriage, children came. Now with family planning, you don't have to have children. But it used to be, you'd have children. And when you have children, all of a sudden, everything about life is someone else. You know what I mean? Everything about life is someone else. The dad brings his paycheck, not for himself, but for the wife and for the kids. And when you're young, it's all gone. There's no time. There's no normal frills. You know? There's no golf outings. There's no new tools. You don't have anything left over. You give it all away. You know, some people rebel at that. They say, I can't handle that. I can't handle this. I can't handle this being selfless. I'm through. Can you imagine? Men, their wife is pregnant, and they run. They run. There's a baby on the way, and they run. How selfish can you get? How selfish can you be? It's everywhere. Because marriage is supposed to be about selflessness. In our day, we've made it less than that. It says here, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about giving up me. It says, is not puffed up. Well, of course, you know what that means. It means a bunch of hot air. You ever heard of the puff fish? How many heard about the puff fish? Anybody hear about the puff fish? Okay, what's the puff fish? Puff is fish is a little fish. I don't know how little it is. But it can be easily eaten by bigger fish. And so God gave it a defense mechanism. It can suck in all this whatever, air, I don't know. And it makes itself real big. But it's really kind of small. But it becomes a big fish when there's another real big fish going to eat it. And so now that little fish became a big fish. But really it was a little fish. Isn't that puffed up really is speaking about pride, isn't it? Pride. I don't need you. I don't need mom and dad. I don't need authorities. I don't need anybody. I'm my own person. You know, that kind of person isn't a very much of a giver, are they? You know, again, we're dealing with the whole idea of love is selfless giving. Not giving with a selfish motive. You know what I'm saying? It's not giving with a selfish motive. It's selfless giving. And there's many more things we could say. We may go on. But we need to, and these are some great things. The selflessness that is found in the Lord Jesus. The selflessness, as he said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. The selflessness of the Lord Jesus as he gave his life for those who did not really even appreciate him. The unbelievable love of the Lord Jesus. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Love suffereth long and is kind. It is strong. It is supernatural. When we come to the Lord Jesus, there ought to have been a shocking transformation. And of course, the Lord said it this way, to whom much is forgiven, to whom much, him that love is forgiven much will love, well, I'm misquoting that. But he said, who will love me the most? Those who have been forgiven the most. But put it in context. It really talks about what is repentance. Repentance is to have the same view of sin as God. And when great sinners come to repentance, there's great love. Because they know how much they have been forgiven. But I'm afraid that many times we don't have a lot of repentance. And we really don't see ourselves as people who have really been forgiven a lot. And we do not see sin as the root of sin, selfishness. And we don't experience that transformation that ought to come when we come to Christ. Because that transformation is rooted in understanding the greatness of God's love. And the greatness of God's love is the power that breaks the human spirit, which is selfishness. The Lord Jesus' great focus as we think of the selfless spirit that he had for the world and for us and as we see that taking place in our life we will know that the love we have is love from Christ. Not a love that is serving our self-interests. The question, of course, we have tonight is, have we found the love of Jesus Christ? Isn't it sad that the day in which we live, the God who has given his all for us is being accused of evil? Isn't that true? I've witnessed to many people, students at the university, and it is shocking when some student is talking about how evil God is. How evil God is. And how evil God would be to send someone to hell. And how evil God would be to judge sin. And how evil God is to declare something is right and say something is wrong. They're saying God is unloving. I'm wondering if a lot of people today have become minor birds. They're just repeating the kind of words that the world uses against our God. We have the wrong definition of love. On the other hand, every one of us realize that we have very selfish nature. And to die to self is the greatest accomplishment of life. To die to self. I'm reminded how it says in 1 John 2, love casts no stumbling stone in front of other believers. But we are living in a day in which people live any way they want and have no care about how they could be a stumbling block or lack responsibility for their actions. We have a great need for the love of Christ to be found in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And Lord, we are reminded there are so many voices in the world that it's hard sometimes to get these things straight. And I pray that, Lord, the clear teaching of the Word of God will help us to have the right definitions. I pray that the very teaching of the Word of God would show us what true love is. And that, Lord, we would look at the Lord Jesus, and that our own selfishness, our own selfish spirit would be melted in His selfless spirit. We thank You that, Lord, Your Holy Spirit can make us what we aren't. And Lord, we thank You that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And Lord, so may You work in our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.